Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday School Hour here at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. So glad to have you here. We're going to go ahead and begin officially.
We're glad to have you here today for the adult class. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, you want to mark that, maybe with a bookmark or a bulletin. And then you want to also find Proverbs chapter 2. We'll primarily be in the New Testament, but find John 5, mark that. We'll start there, then we're going to go right to Proverbs 2 this morning. And let me just say this, there are a nice stack of Sword of the Lords. If you've been with us, you may remember that I made an announcement or two that the most recent batch came, we got one, and then I went back, and we got like two, and then another three. So, and then I finally got one this right before Thanksgiving that was wrapped nicely from the post office with an official apology. That said, we apologize, we know that this package, something happened to it, we regret that it happened, we hope that it will not happen again. So somehow the Sword of the Lord pack that's usually double-binded came apart, and so maybe it got in the hands of the right people. And so, but what's funny is, what came Wednesday, no, Tuesday, was we got a new batch, but it was the October 21st one. So you just never know what's going to happen, all right? The November one was in pieces, and then we got the whole pack of the one that's a month old, all right? But it's not like it gets old. So there is a new stack out there, October 21st, for all of you with grandchildren or children. Now, it's for everybody. Let me encourage you to get this. And one of the sermons on the front is called The Mystery of the Human Body by Dr. Walter Wilson. Now, if you ever see a message by Dr. Walter Wilson in The Sword of the Lord, pay extra close attention to it. They're excellent. It's very unusual because he was a physician and then later in life an evangelist. And I've read one or two of his before. And in fact, he did one several years ago on, he takes, just in this one, he takes the body as a doctor and shows the miracle of creation and God's handiwork and completely refutes evolution. It's tremendous. It's great, though, for your children to just, you could read each little section about how God has made just stuff that you wouldn't think about, your esophagus, your tongue, your mouth, your digestive system, and showing we are so unlike the animal kingdom. Nothing else like the human body by God's special handiwork. You need to get that and read it. You need to read it to your family. You need to do it with a family devotion. You need to do it, really do it. It's a great message, all right? And he had one several years ago where he took nature. He took the waves. He took leaves on a tree. He took the water, all that, and just showed God's handiwork, how it's all by order and design. You know, what is it? Is it 21 waves per minute, I think? It's something like that. If you go to the beach, it never changes, all right? And God has everything perfectly in order. So if you ever see messages by Walter Wilson, all messages are great. Just pay extra special attention. And then one of my favorite preachers from long ago, D. DeWitt Talmage. If you've never read about him or his biography, he's one of my favorite preachers from long ago. He has an excellent message as well. So a lot of great stuff in here. Grab them until they're gone. And they would do you well to read and study and apply. All right, we're in John chapter 5 here as we are officially into the transition of me teaching adult class. And again, Sam and Callan taking the teens. We're glad for that. This is their second week down there. My wife will on occasion, probably could be once a month. It could be every two or three months we'll have a special Sunday school class for mothers with young children. And that is an excellent thing. John chapter 5, verse 39. Whether you were with us last week or the time before, several weeks ago, or you've been watching, maybe as Sue mentioned, you're not able to be here, but you've been following along through Zoom or Facebook, that's great. I would love to ask the question. That would be my number one, not my number one question as a pastor, but I know we have Zoom, we have Facebook. The question is, for those who are not at church services, vacation, sickness, traveling, how many of those, though, participate in the service? That would be the question, all right? And I don't ever look. I know you can sometimes see who's on it, who's not, but I don't ever look, and I don't know that I intend to. But it just, hey, if you're sick and those things happen, family emergency, hopefully folks are at a point, and again, sometimes you're so sick you just can't do any of that. I understand that. But you can always go back and watch if you miss it. But how many on the Lord's Day would actually participate in the service or a service knowing it's the Lord's Day rather than just not? I do trust that our people do that, and I hope and confident that they do. So if you're watching from home, thanks for joining us. You may be watching it later in the day. You're not feeling well, and you say, well, I'll come back after lunch and watch Sunday school Sunday morning, and that's certainly fine. John 5:39. Here's sort of our theme verse, at least for the next week or two until we get into January. Once Christmas is over, I plan to start a new study, new series for the Sunday school hour. John 5:39. Jesus says, search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures, for in them, the Scriptures, ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, I'm not going to go back and repeat last Sunday's message or Sunday school lesson. We broke down this verse. We broke down this chapter. We broke down the context of this verse and make sure we're not just taking this verse out, boom, and that pastor's now applying it for something that he wants to use, and it's his hobby horse, all right? We saw that it's Christ speaking. It's Christ speaking to the Jews. It's Christ speaking to the Jews who were angry that he'd healed a man on the Sabbath. He's speaking to Jews who were trying to kill him because he made a claim that he was God, and they knew it, and they were upset and angry, and he speaks to them, and the thrust of his entire message, if you would, is found in this verse. And he's speaking to very religious people. And I use that word loosely because religion doesn't get anybody to heaven. Religion is not a personal relationship with the Lord, but if you know anything about Judaism, or certainly the Jews of this time, similar to maybe an Orthodox Jew today perhaps, I mean, they held the Scriptures in high esteem, and we praise God for that. And I didn't share praise. I have a gentleman that I've met within the last month, and I've met him three different times, and I tend to meet him one more time. He's Jewish. And we've had some good conversation here and there. We haven't really got into any major religious things, though. He knows what I do. He calls me pastor. He's friendly. And we do some things. I've purchased some items off of him. I hope to see him one more time. And nothing wrong with saying, wonderful, well, what a privilege to meet you. As I mentioned, one of Abraham's seed. Thank you. Thank you and your people for preserving the Scriptures. Now, we know it was God, but God used the Jewish people. Jewish people certainly have preserved and protected and loved and held in high esteem. Now, we understand today the average Jew, if you would, a non-believer, would really only hold to the Old Testament rather than the New. Some of you may, you know, Craig Hartman, who we support. Maybe you've been on a mission trip to New York City, Queens, some areas like that. We support the Dillons to Israel. If you have any basic knowledge of Judaism and the different groups of whether a liberal Jew or a Orthodox and all of that, I hope you know how to speak with them a little bit and what to say, what not to say as far as when first meeting them and who they would hold to and the name Jesus and even Paul they would hold in high disdain. All right, got to be able to use the Old Testament. But they loved the Scriptures. They held the Scriptures, and Scriptures mean sacred writings, holy writings, the Word of God. They held that in high esteem. So it may have seemed ludicrous for Christ to lecture them, I use that word lecture loosely, on searching the Scriptures. Who does he think he is? Search the Scriptures? We know the Scriptures. It's our people who have written the Scriptures. We have protected and preserved the Scriptures. Some of you, how many are familiar with a group called the Essenes? Essenes, the Essenes, all right? Not necessarily directly mentioned by name in the Bible, but that was a group that would have been prevalent at the time of Christ. We may get into that. We may study some of the groups that were present at the time of Christ. Can you give a good, simple explanation? What's the difference between the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the priests, the elders, the lawyers, the Herodians, and the Essenes? Some of the different groups that were present at the time of Christ, all differing views. Some of those were political. Some of those were religious. Some of those were sort of a religious political. They all had their little goals and themes. Certain groups were tied in with other groups and they worked together. They didn't always agree. However, they did come together for the most part for one major agreement. We need to get rid of that man. Jesus Christ. And the Essenes were a group that some believe that John the Baptist perhaps had not necessarily become part of them, but maybe lived with them when he was in the wilderness. They lived down deep into the wilderness area, the regions where the Dead Sea Scrolls would have been found, in the caves. They were very reclusive, very pull away from society type thing. Maybe we would say modern terms would be more like a monk or a monastery, that type of religious view that, well, in order to find favor with God, to stay away from the world and the worldliness of it, we've got to withdraw and sort of be by ourselves and avoid sin and temptations. But one of the things the Essenes did, if you have studied some of that, is they were very protective of the Scriptures and preserving of the Scriptures, and guardians, maybe they would call themselves, of the Scriptures. And so, not saying that this group of people here Christ was speaking to in this chapter, but the Jews, by and large, looked at themselves as God's people, God's chosen people, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unique than any other nation, guardians of the Holy Scriptures, if you would. So for Christ to say to them, search the Scriptures. But he's saying to them, search the Scriptures. They shout out and testify of me. They bear witness of who I am. You think, and he says that in verse 39, you think that you have eternal life. You believe that you have eternal life and that everything's okay and you're going to go into the kingdom of God. Much like he said to Nicodemus, right, when he shocked him. I mean, talk about the open mouth. First words to Nicodemus, except a man be born. What? I'm Nicodemus. I'm a Jew. I'm a Pharisee. Of course I'm going to the kingdom of God, except a man be born again. You'll not even enter it. See it. What? All right? Remember how shocked he was? And, well, we're Jewish. That's automatic. Check mark. God's people. A Pharisee, I mean, that's a double check mark. You might that's first class. You make it in first. What? Search the Scriptures. Christ says, for ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. The very Scriptures that you hold dear, that you memorize, that you can quote, they testify and shout out of me, but you miss it. You miss it. And if you remember, I sort of ended last week with this. It's possible to know the Bible, to read and study the Bible, to carry the Bible constantly, to memorize the Bible, to talk about the Bible, to listen to preaching of the Bible, and still miss the truth. And to become even proud that we are not like other men, said the Pharisee. And the Pharisee and the publican. I'm so glad I'm not like other men who do these things. And we can do it. And it's obvious here as we go through the Scriptures, especially the Gospels, that they who held the Scriptures and knew the Scriptures and spent much time debating and talking about the Scriptures. Think back to when Christ was 12 in the temple. Would you like to have been there when he was a 12-year-old? Sean Goble's 12-year-old. Would you like to have seen 12-year-old Jesus sitting in the temple with experts of the law, scribes, religious leaders, rabbis, Pharisees, and teachers, and the 12-year-old is asking the questions and answering the questions. And they said they were amazed and shocked. Of course, that's God. That's who wrote the Scripture. That's the living Word. They couldn't believe it. They were astounded. All right? And now here he is, 18, 20 years later, as a grown man, search the Scriptures. They are they which testify and shout out of me. In the previous verses there, I didn't read this last week. He mentioned four or five witnesses of who he is. John the Baptist witnessed of me. You hold him in high esteem as a prophet, and he was. Why don't you believe John the Baptist? God the Father bears witness of me. The Scriptures bear witness of me. He gives many witnesses. He said, you... What does he say? Look at verse 40. What a sad verse. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You think you have eternal life. You don't. You know the Scriptures, but you miss it. You won't come to me, the living Scriptures, and to have life. You may know many people like that today. You won't come to Christ that you might have life. Look toward the end of that chapter, and we'll wrap it up here and go to Proverbs. Look at verse 45. Do not think, he used that word think in verse 39, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses. Hey, when you say the name Moses to the Jews, that's one of the Mount Rushmores. Whoa. Abraham. Moses. David. Whoa. You know, Moses. No, he said Moses, in whom ye trust. He's referring there largely to the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which they held even more dear than the rest. That's who you trust in, verse 46. For had ye believed Moses, if you believed those five books that Moses wrote, you would have believed me. What a powerful line. For he wrote of me. Can you see the reaction of these Jews? I mean, the not even a Pharisee, almost the average Jew would have had those books memorized. Certainly the men. Maybe even before they were 12, if you've studied the schools that they went to when they were young and how they did it. Certainly the religious leaders, certainly a lawyer, an expert in the Old Testament law, which would have been the law of Moses, probably knew all of it. That's why they sat around debating it. That's why today, if you hire a lawyer who's an expert lawyer, and you go to their office, you see all these lawyer books. And when they argue about, well, they're arguing about the law today. Not the Bible, but they're arguing about the law. You say, I don't know anything about all that stuff. I may know a few famous cases from history, and Marbury versus Madison, a few that you learn, but I don't know all the laws and codes, much less the state and the federal. That's why we pay the lawyer. And he's supposed to study all that stuff, and he knows all the laws and the rules and the ins and outs. He's an expert. That's what a lawyer was in the Bible. An expert in the law of Moses. Right or wrong, what did Moses say? He said, Moses wrote of me. I'm the main character in Genesis. Jesus, I'm the main character in Exodus. I'm the main character in Leviticus. I'm the main character from the tabernacle. Of all the feasts, everything that's done is pointing to me. You miss it. We're getting into that a little bit in this morning's message. It's all of me. It's all pointing to the Messiah, the Redeemer. It's all part of God's plan. You know it, but you don't know it. He wrote of me. It's all through the Scriptures. Verse 47, but if ye believe not his writings, today we could just say, if you won't believe in the Word of God, how shall ye believe my works? Just take Christ's own works. Remember, we looked at that. His own miracles. Do they not prove who he is? If you say, well, there's definitely miracles being done. Okay. How does that happen? You know anybody today doing miracles? No doubt miracles can happen today. Do you know anybody doing them? Most people that claim, but do you believe any of them people? Is there anybody doing miracles? Is there anybody right now publicly with many witnesses healing blind people, lame people, leprosy, deaf, raising the dead? If somebody was, what would you say? You'd say, well, now that's either, if you know the Scripture, you say that's an imposter, that's fake, or that's the power, that's not the power of God, necessarily. Not that God can't still do those things, but not what Christ did in his public ministry. So Christ said, my own works, my own miracles, shout out. Much less John the Baptist, the Scriptures, the Father, and multiple others, but you will not believe. He says, search the Scriptures. Search the Bible for the great truths concerning me. Search the Scriptures. Now, hold your spot in John. We're coming right back there. But let's go to Proverbs 2. Hopefully you've been holding that spot or you have it marked. This was the only part of the notes last week I did not get to. It was right at the end. So I want to at least read this. We mentioned there's casual searching. There's concentrated searching. And then there's urgent searching. Again, if I said this, I said, here, we're going to play a game. It's our new reality show. All the doors and windows are locked in here. You're part of the game. You didn't know it. Welcome. In this room is hidden And one, not all over the place, one place, $25,000. If you find it, it is yours. Tax-free, do whatever you want with it. It's in this room, it's in this, these right here. Go ahead, find it. Now think about that, if that was true. Now, there's always people, I've played many games with teens and adults, there are people who never try. You can just tell, there's like, a lot of times they're just adults, but hope you don't get that way, all right? Okay. All right, whatever. We could say $1 million. I don't think the money, okay. There's people that won't try, but just think about it. If there really was, how would you search? And we said, now, if you want to leave the game at any time, you can. Just go right back there, push the little buzzer, door will open, you're out of the game. Anybody can leave anytime. If you want, how long does it last? As long as you want it to last. A week? A month? It's in this room. Find it. How would you search? Would you search? I guess it would depend if you had an interest. No big deal. Don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care. Too hard. I guess it would depend on your motive. It would depend on if you felt it was necessary. How long before you quit, though? Because obviously it's not going to just be like taped underneath a pew. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's here. Let's find out what kind of searcher you are. Let's find out how many people quit quick. After 1 hour, would you be like, oh, a day, a week? Who would last? I guess it would only be those who are convinced that it exists, that you have that need, and that you will find it no matter what. But there were a lot of people that would quit, give up after an hour or two, you know, whatever. Oh, well, too, not worth it. Well, think about it. The Bible says search the Scriptures. We like to read the Bible and think that we can do a little 3-minute, 1-minute, 5-minute devotion, and we're going to gain all this truth, and we wonder why our lives aren't transformed. We get our email of our monthly, our daily devotion. Those are fine. Little snippet. That's a little power bite snack. All right. It wasn't today on eternal life, I think I saw. All right. On eternal things, Corinthians. All right. Nothing wrong with that. Read your little thing. Get your little email blog. Get your little verse of the month. That's fine. That's not searching the Scriptures. All right? That's all, sir, he said search. You're not going to just walk around casually. Okay, let's see. Where's the 25,000? I don't know. You know how people do. Hey, it's in here. Tear up carpets. Well, I mean, it's in here. Find it. And how many people would last? How many give up? Think about the Scriptures. In here is hidden, what does it say? More than rubies, diamonds, more than precious gold, has the answer to everything you need. Everything pertaining to life and godliness is right here. Search it. How do you search it? Not a big deal. Now, a lot of it comes back to if you believe it or not. Well, I don't know. I mean, if you could go like 2 weeks without being in it, I would imagine then that means you don't really believe it's that necessary. Or that you can make it through life on your own. Or it's not as important as God makes it out to be. And that brings us back then to where we examine ourselves. Like, maybe that's a pride problem. I know it is. I mean, if I think I could go a week or two or a month without the Bible, then I'm a pretty proud person. That's pretty much saying to God, I don't need it. Now, other people do, but I'm good. You know, I don't need it every day. I'm good. I rely on my strength, my energy, my wit, my personality. Whoa! All right? Search the Scriptures. But look what Proverbs says, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Proverbs 2, 1 to 5. We'll read it slow here. My son. Notice the ifs. There's three ifs. That's conditional. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding? Yea, notice the second if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, verse 4, the third if thou seekest her, her is simply referring to wisdom in the book of Proverbs, wisdom referring to God, we could simply replace that with God's word, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It's not going to be laying on the ground. Hey, look, 20 money. That was easy. Hey, there's gold out there. Let's go. We'll go to California. Where is it? I heard it's in the creeks. Where is it? I mean, you read about the gold rush. That's what everybody did. That's why it's called the gold rush. The 49ers, 1849. Let's go. There's gold. This is easy. That one guy found it. This is easy. Let's get out there and get rich. You ever read? Well, that's why there's ghost towns. That's why people sold everything to go out there and thought it would be real easy, and it wasn't easy. And very few people struck it rich. And most people quit. Some quit within a day or two, much less a week, when they found out this is hard. My hands are bleeding and callous. You mean I got to dig? You mean I got, what? I thought it was just easy. You know, that's the way it is with God's word. Now, that's not to say that it's hard work necessarily. It does take discipline. That doesn't mean that a new believer can't find things. But to find the things of God, God doesn't just put it all on the surface. It's search the scriptures. Study the scriptures. Search for it. Search for me. It's there. It's full of truth. It's full of it. Greater things than rubies and diamonds and things that we think we've got to have. It's there. But you're going to have to be diligent. You're going to have discipline. You're going to have a little gumption, if you would, to search the scriptures. And it's not enough, like the Jews, to just know it. Be careful, because by searching, and you could spend long times in the Bible, and you might be like, man, I was in it for an hour or two. This is great. I just read a whole book. That's great. But what were you reading for? What were you looking for? Did you miss Christ on those pages? Did you miss the deeper things of God? What do you see? We may get into Genesis a little bit here in January. It's so fascinating that from Genesis 1 to Genesis 50, so we start with creation, and 50 chapters later you end with a coffin, right? Joseph in a coffin. And so you look at how much recorded history right there in just the book of Genesis. So 4,000 B.C., you know, almost to Moses. So you're, what is that there, 25 or something like that, 2,000 right at it almost. So all those thousands of years, but yet that's all God told us about the first one-third of all history? I once you get through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, which is, you know, basically all mankind, Tower of Babel, flood and everything, and then from chapter 12 on, it's just four people. It's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. That's it? That's all we get for 2,000 years? Why? Then God says, because that's all you need. Well, no, there should be a lot more information. No. I'm God. I made you. I know what you need. Everything is right there. Search. Now, we did a little study on that on Sunday mornings when I was preaching on Abraham. There's really only two stories with even Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, wouldn't you think they're pretty important? The first people? I mean, Adam lived over 900 years old. We have two stories, the sin in the garden and this Cain and Abel. That's it? That's it? God said, that's enough. Many people don't even really understand the story of Cain and Abel. Why in the world is that old story in the Bible? Okay, he killed his brother. Search. Why would God put that? Why is that the only story? Okay, the flood I get, but... And then even with Abraham, I mean, we looked at that. The obscure meeting with Melchizedek, pointing to Christ. Isaac, the beloved, pointing to Christ. Abraham, not the eldest one, pointing to Christ. Leviticus, who reads through Leviticus? Be ye holy, all the, pointing to Christ. The sacrifice, the Christ. The tabernacle, Christ. God, it's all there. Search. He says, search with all your heart. And God will open up. You'll see so many amazing things. Same thing he says in John. They testify of me. There is nothing else. Is it, well, I'm the central figure. It's all about redemption. And search it. Look for it. Dig for it. Make it a priority. Don't be casual. Don't think a little dab will do you. I got it in real quick. We're good today. No. Search the scriptures. Back to John 5. Back to John 5. You say, well, is that a theme of Christ? It is. It is. He mentions here, search the scriptures. Let's look at one. Remember, the word search is only used three times in the New Testament. Once there, once when talking about the wise men and Herod, go search for the young child. And the only other time it's used is John 7. Take a look at John 7, just a few pages to your right. The only other time that word search is used in the New Testament is right here. John 7. And again, we looked at this a lot last week. It's a very similar chapter. Lots of division over who Jesus was, verse 43. So there was a division among the people because of him. Who is he? He's a good man. He's a fake. He's a prophet. He's a deceiver. He's got a devil. He's the Messiah. I don't know. A lot of division. The religious leaders even send soldiers to arrest him. And they come back and they say, where is he? And they say, we couldn't arrest him. Why not? We never heard a man speak like that man. What do you mean? You're supposed to go arrest him. We couldn't. And so how does the chapter end? All right, verse 45, John 7, 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees and said to them, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, are you also deceived? They're like, oh, come on. You had a job to do. Don't tell me you're deceived. Verse 48. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? How do you like that? Yeah, wait a minute. Have any of the religious leaders who know the truth, have any of them believed on him? Surely if he was, come on, you can't be fooled. Verse 49. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Now, guess who speaks up? Only the second time you see this man. He's never mentioned in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, is he? He's only mentioned in John 3, John 7, and John 19 when he helps bury Jesus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee and religious leader, and he speaks up. He's got some courage, but he's also scared. Nicodemus saith unto them, I love the parentheses, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them. Now, he's on the fence, but let's not get on him too harshly. Because you and I sometimes even have trouble getting on the fence. He pipes up, but he's being careful. Doth our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he doeth? Hey, we're judging. Hey, come on, let's do things by the book. Why are we making an assumption? Boy, they turn on him quick. They answered and said unto him, now they're mocking him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and look. They're saying the scriptures. Oh, come on. Don't tell me you're from up there and you're one of his. Search and look. Out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. They said, oh, come on. You ought to know the Bible. There's nowhere in the Old Testament that ever says a prophet or the Messiah is going to come out of Galilee. Right? Remember? Bethlehem. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. And he was. They all assumed that Jesus, being a Nazarene, growing up in Nazareth, and spending most of his life in Galilee, they did not really search or investigate. And of course, we mentioned, well, based on Scripture, Jonah was a prophet from the Galilee. All right? But there's that, come on, you don't know the Scriptures. Go search and look. We know them. All right? Sort of a pious, proud arrogance there, as they were missing exactly who Jesus was. He's right there in front of you. You could reach out and touch God, the God-man. How did they not know? They were blinded. Same thing can happen to all of us. Flip backwards, if you would, to Luke. Let's go to Luke 16. Luke 16. Trying to lay a little bit of groundwork here for some things we're going to get at in upcoming weeks. So we won't always be in John 5. That may be the last time we are in that little chapter. But Luke 16. Luke 16. But I want you to notice how Christ brings everything back to what? The Scriptures. Not your human reasoning. Not your, what do you think? Not your feelings. The Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. Go to the Scriptures. when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan? The scriptures. Are we supposed to learn anything from that? The scriptures. Search the scriptures. Here in Luke 16, and we preached on this, you know this story well. I'm only referencing this again for a truth. Last verse in Luke 16, and he, of course this is Abraham, he said unto him, the rich man, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, the scriptures, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. But I want you, again, the constant emphasis to the authority of the Bible. The scriptures. And you and I say, but... well, you need to share Christ with them. Share the Bible. I know, but you got to do more than that. The scriptures are enough. I know, but they're not going to believe the scriptures. It's not going to be your fancy words and your eloquence and your answer in every debate. The scriptures. All right, the scriptures. Because that way they get mad. They get mad at the scriptures. They're getting mad at God. All right? They can twist you, and you'll not be able to answer everybody. You won't win every debate. You can be crafty and think you're subtle and know every little thing. You don't. The scriptures. Abraham, if you won't hear the scriptures, you won't believe at all. And again, the emphasis, you'll see that again. Go to the last chapter of Luke, Luke 24. Luke 24. Really, I guess I'm saying this. It comes down to your conviction or lack thereof of the Bible. Is the Bible enough? Now, I'll give that a quick answer. You don't even need to answer it. Your answer is in your handling of it on a daily basis. Your answer is not what you just said. Of course, it's, let's look at the last month. Last week. Now, I know, I'm not here to make it, we all get busy Thanksgiving. Oh, man, I'm not an awful wicked sinner. It's been a couple days, been tired, shopping, family. Oh, man, Bible, I need to open the Bible. Happens to all of us. But if that's a pattern, we're looking, that's the pattern, and there's a lack of conviction over the Bible. It's not enough to say, I believe. No. You don't believe it's sufficient then. You don't believe it's sufficient and it's enough. You got to have more than that. It's not enough to grow. It's not relevant today in 2022. And it's an old book, or it's got a bunch of stories, or... We're coming back to the sufficiency of the Scripture. What did Christ constantly appeal to? And by the way, he was always pointing back to the Old Testament. There wouldn't even have been a New Testament yet. The Old Testament, he was even saying, was sufficient. The Old Testament. A lot of Christians don't even read the Old Testament. They think it's old and in the past. It's been abolished. Search the Scriptures. Praise the Lord for the New Testament, but all of it is inspired of God and is sufficient. What does Christ use in Luke 24? After he is risen from the dead, he's alive. It's Sunday morning. Word has been spreading about this rumor that the tomb is empty. The grave clothes are laid flat. Some people supposedly saw him risen, but we don't know. Some rumors are being said that the disciples stole the body. It's the number one topic of discussion in all of Jerusalem. Before it was, who is he? Now it's, do you really believe, is he what? I can't believe it. And of course, one of the, I think, most humorous stories in the Bible, I love this story, John 20, Luke 24, Jesus joins up two people walking. Don't assume they were two men. Could have been husband, wife. Could have been two friends. And he joins up with them, right? And you can pick up the story, verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. Verse 14, they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So this lone stranger walking, say, can I walk with you? It's the Lord Jesus. Now he's risen. They don't recognize him. And there's a reason they don't recognize him. Verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he asked a very simple question. I heard you guys talking. What are we talking about? And verse 18, Cleopas gives him a sort of a sarcastic answer. Really? Rolls his eyes. What are you, a stranger? Are you an alien? We're talking about the thing that every single person is talking about. All right? This Jesus. Verse 19. This Jesus of Nazareth. Basically, who we thought was a great prophet. mighty in deed and word. And we're talking about how they killed him, verse 20. And they crucified him, but verse 21, they're doubting. We trusted, we were his followers. And we sort of trusted and believed that he was the one, that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And it's the third day, and he's risen. And some ladies came, verse 22, and told us that the tomb is empty, and we're not sure. That's what we're discussing. So what does Jesus do? Verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets, Old Testament, have spoken. Ought not Christ, ought not the Messiah, to have suffered those things and to enter into his glory? Now look at verse 27. This is as they're walking. And beginning at Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and all the prophets, that would have been all the rest of the Old Testament primarily, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a lesson that was. You say, that's pretty strong language. He called them fools and slow of heart. I'll finish with this. Slow of heart means dull and sluggish. Your minds are dull and sluggish, and I'm going to expound. Expound means to explain thoroughly. Jesus Christ takes the Old Testament scriptures, which he is, and opens them up to him, showing all of the scriptures and truths and about himself. Don't you know the scriptures? That's what the Bible says that should have happened to the Messiah, the Christ. And he expounds to them, and of course, when they get to the house and he prays, their eyes are opened, and he's gone. Oh my goodness, they say, But notice, Christ is emphasizing the scriptures. The scriptures. The Bible. I'll finish with this. Could you take a Bible, the Old Testament only, and open the scriptures to a Jew who's not saved? And show them, if they were seeking, that Jesus Christ is and was the Messiah, God himself. Could you do it? Could you use the scriptures for a seeking religious person? A Catholic, it doesn't really matter. Could you show from the Bible of Christ who he is and why it would not be Mary or why this is wrong? Could you take the scriptures, and use the scriptures, which are mighty, to show them from the Bible who Jesus Christ is and let the scriptures do the work and the Holy Spirit do the work as you and I are students searching the scriptures. Father, help us to love. Search and live your word, for it is sufficient. In Jesus' name, amen.